A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. Off to a new week. I hope that each and every one of you had a good weekend. I know it was somewhat disappointing for us Tar Heel fans, those Duke Blue Devils. That's always a big game that comes, and so I know I've talked about sports in the past and what that means. I'm probably not as bad as I used to be with watching basketball. I would think that as time has continued on through the years that the emotion and feelings of disappointment when things don't always work out with the goal of winning a game used to kind of weigh on me heavily, but with the help of the Lord and a wife that says you're crazy, we've kind of ventured in another direction with our, I guess, understanding that that's not, it's a form of entertainment and that's what it should be. And so therefore, yeah, we're not as brokenhearted, I guess, as years in the past years. But anyway, it was a good weekend. Got to celebrate a birthday, got to be involved with just the weekend thing, you know, cleaned the bathroom Saturday, got to help out with that a little bit. You know, my wife is always meticulous about keeping a clean house, so sometimes we can jump in and help assist. And so she was quite excited that that was going down, you know, to help out. So husbands, help out around the house and get some cleaning done, I guess. But so here we are, and you know, as always, was able to go to church and had a good lesson, a good message. Closed out in the book of Exodus in our Sunday school, chapter 40. Kind of concluded that God is with us on the journey. And then during preaching, one of the passages that was referenced there was Matthew chapter 25, the five foolish and the five wise. And so Pastor Mitch preached on that. And one of the things that was the takeaway from that message yesterday was, does Jesus know you? And I liked one of his illustrations, I guess, to put it in a understandable context, is that there are many people that might even know Donald Trump, and he alluded to that and of course worded it. He said, but just because you know him, whenever you try to cross the fence at the White House, he better know you, or else you'll have some severe consequences. And I think, you know, it's the moral of where we land. We would say that there are many people who profess faith in Jesus Christ and say that they know him. But the bigger question is does he know you? And on the day of his return, as the Bible clearly states, that he is coming back, when you stand before him, will we be known by our Heavenly Father? So I pray that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray that you would be convicted of your sin and be convicted of not having a relationship with Christ, and therefore cry out to him. As you've heard me state before, a famous passage, it's very true, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the confession of placing your faith, and that it is through Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, and him basically conquering death, being buried, resurrection, and therefore having faith in him and him alone. Now, you know, I guess the underlying question for a lot of times that people may ask, because maybe there's like recipes or, you know, directions on things that that we have on a daily basis. You know, we say we get instruction on how to do this or how to do that. And, you know, and there are some people that say, well, you know, salvation, being born again, having a relationship with God, how is that even possible? And what's the instruction? And I really think what Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Yeah, I think it's very true. In verse 10 there of Romans 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses. So true it is. It's not really complicated when you think about eternal salvation through Christ. And I think it's something that we make complicated. So I hope and pray that if you're listening to this podcast, first and foremost, that that God knows who you are through his Son, and that you stand redeemed. You know, and I feel that in those moments where we kind of struggle with trying to navigate, you know, what that looks like, I'll just put it out there like this, I guess, to, you know, if you have any questions about that, feel free to give me a, shoot me a email. Feel free to shoot me an email, and I would love to, you know, have a conversation with you. And you can send that email to chris@wbclowell.com. That again is chris@wbclowell.com. chris@wbclowell.com. So if you have any questions about salvation, what that looks like, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, feel free to shoot me an email. I'd be glad to have a further conversation. You know, because through it all, I mean, I think that when it boils down to a simplistic truth, as conversation I was having this morning and one of the podcasts that I recently did, it's where's the heart? It's either a heart that's been swayed by sin, or it's a heart that's been rescued by the Savior. And that Savior, of course, we proclaim is through Christ, Christ alone. So I'm going to jump back in to James. We have finished out last week, you know, with James chapter 1. And I thought that was a good time to explore what those passages mean and how that is applicable for our life. And then again, how that carries over into our dealings with those seasons of life that may present various trials. And again, I think there's a reason to which James starts his book out, not to be repetitive, but just a reminder that all of us face those various trials. You know, we were probably excited about Monday morning, maybe not. You know, that could be a mixed bag. There's all kinds of things that we're facing. In particular, at our household right now, one of the areas of confrontation, instruction, a little bit of sleeplessness. My wife, bless her heart, she is faithful with our children. Even to this day, we have an issue with one of our children, aka Mr. Owen LaBum James. So he is transitioning into sleeping by himself and kind of having some struggles with that, you know, and we're patiently trying to walk through it, but it's hard when the sleep has not been adequate like it should be. So we'll continue to motivate and encourage, and you pray for Mr. Lake Norris as he goes through this being alone season. As he said, you know, Dad, I don't like being by myself. And it's like, you're not by yourself. There's a house full of people in here. You're good. You're good to go. So we continue to encourage and pray for him during this time. But here in James chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? We have sometimes, I would say, made a distinction. The old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. And so, therefore, those attitudes or ways in which we view other men or women can sometimes bring us to this this understanding towards classifying someone by what we visually see, you know, how we, the outer appearance of an individual. And I think that, you know, Bible clearly addresses that, especially 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Praise be to God for his looking to the heart. And so I would think that, you know, in the context of where we land, sometimes we have to be reminded that God knows what he's doing. And here in 1 Samuel 16, he's looking at Jesse's sons. And there's one that's out in the field tending the sheep. God knows who he will choose, and so therefore he looks at the inner man. And I think James is very explicit in detail as to the interactions that we have towards one another. As stated before, we would find our identity in the worldly things and how wealth and prosperity, what we equate to the American dream, possibly. You know, and there's nothing wrong in of itself with money or things. It's the sad truth is that when those possessions become or take the place of God in one's life, and therefore the relationship is based upon something that is so true as sinking sand. Because, you know, even for one who says that they have some desire or aspirations, again, to attain much wealth or much material possessions that the world has to offer, I mean, the Bible clearly describes those things as wasting away. We've already established that truth, is that there's no eternal merit there. There's temporal before us in the present, in the moment. But the longevity will cease. So what James is saying is that you're basing this judgment on temporal ideology. You're looking at one person because of what has been established by some mentality to think that there is greatness with being wealthy, and that there is a lack or not so much in reference to having or being poor, maybe showing no acknowledgement towards that individual. And again, the beauty of Jesus is that the embrace he gives to all people, whether wealthy, whether poor, whether sickly, whether paralyzed, however it may be the instance, the interaction that he has with those individuals, even in the flesh while he was dwelling amongst the earth, was a relationship or a desire of equality. No one is greater. The only one that is great is King Jesus. And the significance of that and how it weighs upon us and moves within our soul, it redirects our attention to see how we should treat one another. That even from a social standing of either being rich or poor, from a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood, there's a multitude of ways and how people can be defined, of even from not being from the same country or having a different accent. You're not from around here, are you? Don't know how often we've heard that. And so, you know, I think we see the implication for believers to be mindful towards those who enter our churches. You know, that we treat them with all, because ultimately, or treat them as God's children. And going back to, again, the creation, God stated in Genesis, let us make man in our image. I probably will repeatedly say that. So a love for God and a love for man that he created, a gift of life that was from the good Lord. And so therefore, we interact in a way that gives pleasure to God and not ourselves. Sometimes I would think that there's a tendency in which we can interact in this way of showing favoritism. And James is clearly telling us that, you know, we have to look at how God looks at people. How is it that God looks at people? When we read 1 Samuel 16, he's more concerned about the heart than he is the outer appearance. And again, that's the central theme. Central theme of where it lands, that we're more consumed about where someone's heart is and not where they stand in our culture or society. And that we see a person, a human, that God breathed into. And so I would think that it's fitting for us to be reminded to not to look towards humans, to people, with favoritism. That we are created equal. Now, that could go into a different conversation of men and women and roles, distinctions that we have. But ultimately, that we are equal before and a holy, almighty God. So I think that as we continue through James, it's a good reminder for us to settle in to a place of God's viewpoint and how he desires for us to see mankind. And I think in some way that will bear towards our reactions or actions towards those that come our way. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.